From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the Republican effort to make voting more difficult in Texas.
So the bottom line is this: election fraud is unacceptable. And that's exactly why I made it an emergency item this session.
Anyone that believes in fairness, that believes in democracy, should be outraged that they are trying to do this.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. This week, Governor Greg Abbott held a press event in Harris County where he again made it clear he wanted the legislature to pass bills that would make voting harder.
Our objective is very simple, and that is to ensure that every eligible voter gets to vote. It's also to ensure that only eligible votes are the ones that count at the ballot box.
Sitting next to Abbott was State Senator Paul Bendicourt, a Republican from Houston, who is the author of Senate Bill 7.
No, we're not a universal absentee ballot state like Oregon and others. And more importantly, we didn't need that 2 million absentee ballots to set a record voter total in Harris County, which is only high by numerically, but the highest percentage in over 30 years. But the first bill was to stop the absentee ballot mailing.
If passed, SB 7 would bar local election officials and voter fraud advocacy groups from distributing mail-in vote applications, place the responsibility for clerical errors on election officials, and grant more power to the Attorney General to hunt down suspected voter fraud.
You want to make sure that people understand that there's uniformity, what the laws are, and that's why I filed a bill that would have uniform election laws in the state that I think are picked up both in House Bill 6 as well as in Senate Bill 7, just to have 7 to 7 hours for early voting. And obviously for Election Day. That would increase the number of hours in rural, in some cases, suburban Texas. It may decrease from what the attempt was in Harris County.
SB 7 would also limit mail-in voting to voters who provide medical documentation proving that they cannot vote in person at a voting center, while also preventing local officials from implementing measures that would facilitate voting, making it more convenient.
And whether they're working a shift or not, they've got a chance to work on that work on that effort over the weekend, et cetera. So I don't think there's any denial of voter rights with that. I think uniformity is what we need in Texas. So rural voters coming home to work have the same access as urban voters.
And on the other side of Abbott at the press event was State Representative Briscoe Kane, a Republican from Deer Park, who chairs the House Elections Committee.
And I believe it's incumbent on the Texas legislature to get this right, that elections, the bedrock of our republic, should be free, fair, and secure.
Kane was active in former President Trump's effort to overturn the results of the presidential election in Pennsylvania. He helped file a lawsuit alleging widespread issues with mail-in voting there. That lawsuit was tossed out due to lack of evidence. Kane is the chair of the House Elections Committee. He filed House Bill 6, which includes a prohibition on proactively sending out applications to vote by mail.
At the main point of House Bill 6, the very beginning, is this idea that we should have standardized and uniform elections, that the rules are the rules. What the legislature said and how an election should be conducted, that's the rule. It's predictable. Everyone should know that. You know, in the Texas House right now, we've got members that are rural and urban, and there's different rules that apply depending where you live. I would say that a Texan from Lubbock should be able to move to Harris County or Liberty County and know when they'll vote and the times and hours of those voting. Again, that makes it fair. It helps rural Texans feel like they have the same opportunity as urban Texans.
It's worth again highlighting that there was no meaningful fraud in the last election. That's true nationally and in Texas. And this was made clear in the recent testimony of Keith Ingram from the Texas Secretary of State's office at an Elections Committee hearing.
In spite of all the circumstances, Texas had an election that was smooth and secure. Texans can be justifiably proud of the hard work and creativity shown by local county election officials. I am happy to report that Texas elections are in good shape. Last year was very challenging in a number of respects. Obviously, presidential elections are the largest turnout and most visible elections that we do. In any ordinary year, a presidential election would be a big deal. It would feature high turnout and much scrutiny. However, in 2020, there was the added complication of a global pandemic with which election officials had to contend. The elections in Texas last year were a success. The governor extended early voting by a week in order to spread out voters, and this resulted in, as well as the high level of interest on the part of the voters, 87% of voters who voted last year voted early. Notwithstanding the extraordinarily high turnout, the counties reported their results earlier than normal.
Those are the facts from the Texas Secretary of State's office, which is in charge of running elections. There was no fraud, no confusion. We had secure and timely results. But this is what we're hearing from Governor Abbott.
The integrity of elections in 2020 were questioned right here in Harris County with the mail-in ballot application process. The county elections clerk attempted to send unsolicited mail-in ballot applications to millions of voters, many of whom would not be eligible to vote by mail. Election officials should be working to stop potential mail ballot fraud, not facilitate it. And that's exactly why the Texas Supreme Court was right to put a stop to what Harris County was trying to do.
So what's wrong with this picture? Remember President Trump, when he was seeking re-election and then after he lost, he made case after case that there were problems with the ballots based on lies.
And you see what's happening with so many different places. They're doing even trial runs. They're a disaster. And I don't want to see an election, you know, so many years I've been watching elections. And they say the projected winner or the winner of the election, I don't want to see that take place in a week after November 3rd or a month or, frankly, with litigation and everything else that can happen, years, or you never even know who won the election. You're sending out hundreds of millions of universal mail-in ballots, hundreds of millions. Where are they going? Who are they being sent to? It's common sense. You don't have to know anything about politics.
President Trump based many of his unfounded claims of voter fraud on a postal worker story in Erie, Pennsylvania. But according to a new report, that didn't happen. Agents from the Postal Service Inspector General's office found no evidence of backdated ballots after interviewing county and post office employees and reviewing ballots received by the Erie Post Office on November 3rd and thereafter. The report has been kept under wraps by the Inspector General's office until it was posted without announcement on February 26th. Those allegations by the postal employee Richard Hopkins became public on November 5th in a video release by Project Veritas, a discredited conservative group that is promoting voter fraud accusations on social media. That story was picked up and amplified by right-wing media, which has not provided an on-air correction now that the story has been proven to be false. But false or not, it had the effect of generating distrust in the election system, and now that very distrust and lack of confidence in voting is being used by Abbott and others to justify pushing forth these new laws that will end up making voting more difficult.
Any voter fraud that takes place sows seeds of distrust in the election process. The more distrust in the election process, the more that it challenges the fundamentals of democracy itself. There is an obligation, not only in the Texas Constitution, but as articulated by the United States Supreme Court, that we remove that distrust by ensuring that we do all we can to ensure that every eligible voter will be able to cast a vote, but no one will be able to cast an illegal vote.
Voting rights advocates are sounding the alarm that Texas is pushing forth the harshest voting rights restrictions since the Jim Crow whites-only primary and the poll tax, because they say these are voting laws that are designed to hurt minority voters. Christina Zinsu Ramirez is the chief strategy officer at JOLT, a Texas-wide organization that lifts up the voice, vote, and issues impacting Latinos.
Right now, Texas historically has had one of the lowest voter turnouts in the country, and we've started to see that shift. And you would hope that our elected officials would applaud that, because democracy is about participation, and that elected officials should have to win on the merit of their ideas with a mandate. But it looks like our elected officials have actually been happy to hold power with a minority of voter participation, and they want to keep it that way. And they are willing to bend and break the rules to try and keep as few people voting as possible. We know that these laws and bills are not designed to protect democracy, but they are designed to protect those in power and keep them there and keep as few Texans voting as possible. Anyone that believes in fairness, that believes in democracy, should be outraged that they are trying to do this.
Well, the Texas Republican Party in the last election cycle actually did a pretty impressive job of registering people to vote, and those people actually turned out to vote after they were registered. So they would say, no, we are very interested in getting people to the polls.
Yeah, but if you look at the bills that they have, and the data shows that many of their proposed bills are actually designed to specifically impact voters of color more, Democratic voters more. So you see attacks on early voting. We saw a huge increase in the early vote, but especially amongst young voters and voters of color. They know that those are not the majority of their voters. So you see attacks on that. You see attacks also to criminalize voting. And we've seen them use actually jail people for supposed fraud in the election process as examples to scare away other people. All those people that I have seen have been people of color. So you see that actually it's not about protecting democracy or getting out people to vote. It's trying to keep Republicans voting and Democrats not from voting. And most of those Democrats that they seem to be going after are Black and brown voters. You know, what I always remind myself is that democracy, real democracy, has always been a threat to those in power, because it is the great equalizer. It's where all of our votes are equal regardless of race, gender, income, and that threatens those in power. And that's why they are proposing this legislation that's specifically designed to target communities of color. What you also have to remember is that this legislation is being supported by our governor, who turned around right after the 2018 election and said that there were 100,000 illegal votes being cast in Texas. Well, it turned out that all of their data was false, and they had to admit that there actually was no case as they were stating.
So we have seen Governor Abbott in Harris County this past week having a press conference where he was talking about the need for all of these new voting restrictions in order to preserve the purity of the ballot box. He is making a case that this last election that we had in 2020 was filled with abuse, that all of these things that we had in Harris County, like drive-through voting that and 24-hour voting, that should not be allowed, and they will be passing laws to prevent that. So can you respond?
And again, you saw a great turnout in Harris County, a great job by local officials that really wanted to ensure that even in the difficult circumstances of a pandemic, that everyone could vote. And what we saw was that these tools of drive-through voting, of making it easier and accessible, increasing hours, increased turnout. And so again, you would hope that our legislators would applaud that, but no, they're threatened by it. And they're also trying to threaten local officials. You'll see in some of the legislation they're proposing that it would also create fines and penalties for local elected officials that are simply trying to do their job when the state has really been failing year after year to do the work to expand the franchise in the state. We have to remember that Texas is the South, that these are the same tools of poll taxes and literacy tests repackaged with the same purpose. Their purpose are to deny communities of color the right to vote. And we will see that when this goes to court. This legislation, if it passes, will go to court. And the data, I think, will prove that these are attacks and assaults on communities of color. We have only been a true democracy since the 1960s in our country, when we actually protected the right to vote of all communities and communities of color. I think that we are seeing the second wave and assault on those gains like we never have before. And Texas is ground zero for national trends to try and roll back the participation of voters and the ability, especially of Black and Brown voters, to participate at the same levels as their white counterparts.
Why do you think Abbott is targeting Harris County in particular, doing things like limiting to one the number of ballot drop-off locations, the limiting the hours for voting? And yet we haven't seen any evidence or even a real argument as to how does making voting more convenient, how does it make it less secure?
You know, the Harris County is under attack because it's a very diverse community. You've seen local elected officials really try and increase turnout. And again, that threatens them. They have no interest. Again, you know, you just said it, there's been next to no fraudulent cases that they themselves can find. And instead of being concerned about the historic low voter participation, that's not their concern. These are Greg Abbott, Ken Paxton, Lieutenant Governor. They are not defenders of democracy. They are actually the ones that are trying to undermine its exact purpose and function, which is the right to easily and accessibly vote. You know, as someone that's been a voting rights advocate since my early 20s, you know, I've always been led by the idea that we try and make it as easy and accessible as possible for everyone to vote, because people should have to win on the merit of their ideas. And that means that we want the most people voting as possible. Harris County is under attack because it's a huge county. It's a hugely diverse county, and they want to keep as few people voting as possible.
They're targeting mail-in ballot, particularly with this, with these new laws. One of the new proposed bills would require people to present like a photocopy of their driver's license, like a voter ID on steroids for mail-in ballots. Also, for people who are requesting a mail-in ballot because of a medical issue, you would have to provide like a doctor's note saying that that you would actually need that. How would that impact the use of mail-in ballots?
Well, you know, you would see a huge decrease in people being able to effectively use mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots in other states that are, a handful of other states that before the pandemic had used mail-in ballots, it had all been proven to be safe, effective. It hadn't actually even proven to increase Democratic turnout instead of Republican turnout. It actually showed that all it did was increase voter participation and that it was safe and effective. So you had a slew of other states follow course. And it is so effective that people want to keep using it. You know, you saw record-breaking turnout even in a pandemic, and it was because we were really using all these tools to increase voter participation. The United States has a very low voter participation for an industrialized democracy. That should be something that we're trying to change. But these rules, you know, where you're going to have to seek a medical professional to give you a doctor's note, is no other state does this. And this would be put Texas as one of the most restrictive states in the entire country on these tools that are actually expanding the franchise.
So we have a lot of policies in Texas that we know that the public supports, things like Medicaid expansion, sick leave for workers. Texans support some policies that will not even get a hearing in the Capitol, dealing with and admitting that there is climate change. Is there a connection between having voter suppression in the state and not actually being able to have policies put into law and actualized in the state government?
We all lived through the results of having a government that doesn't feel like they answer to their voters during the historic Texas freeze, where millions of us were left in the cold. Nearly half of our state didn't have clean drinking water. That was the result of, one, feeling like they don't answer to voters, two, that they don't have to address issues like climate change. You know, if we had a government that actually won on a mandate that had to represent the needs of Texans, we would have a state. You know, popular polling shows time and again that most Texans support raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Most Texans support action on climate change and transitioning our economy to a clean energy economy. Most Texans support legalizing marijuana, and they support Medicaid expansion. We would look a lot different, and the needs of millions of people would be met if we actually had greater participation in our democracy. And at the end of the day, that's what they're afraid of. What I see is that Greg Abbott, Ken Paxton, our legislators on the Republican side of the aisle that are supporting these ridiculous and dangerous bills to our democracy, that what they are motivated is not public service, but power and profit. The power to stay in office and profit to serve the interests of their donors that have very narrowed financial interests in the oil and gas sector, that have narrow financial interests in how our healthcare system runs, that they are not interested in serving the vast majority of Texans. They are interested in serving their donors.
Christina Zinsou Ramirez is the Chief Strategy Officer at JOLT, a Texas-wide organization that lifts up the voice, vote, and issues impacting Latinos. While the new proposed voting restrictions are designed to disenfranchise mainly urban and minority voters, they're also going to impact Republican voters. An analysis of voter data from 2020 by Secure Democracy showed that significant numbers of voters from both major parties took advantage of early and mail-in voting, and they say that if election security is Governor Abbott's goal, there's a way to do that that will not make voting more difficult. Sarah Walker is with Secure Democracy, a nonpartisan nonprofit that seeks to increase election security.
I would just like to put this in a national context. We've seen over almost nearly 500 bills that would restrict access to the ballot in 43 different states. And one of the reasons why this is so confusing and can be really confusing, particularly in Texas, is that many of the things that they're attacking are things like early voting and absentee balloting. But what the data shows in terms of who used absentee balloting and who used early voting, and what it shows is that this was tremendously popular amongst all citizens in Texas. And in fact, fewer than 1 in 5 Republican voters in Texas voted in person on Election Day in 2020. So restricting access to absentee and early voting options could actually really disenfranchise their leadership's own voters. And to me, that just doesn't make sense. Additionally, I would say that Texans across the political spectrum are the ones who would benefit from preserving and even looking at expanding some of the voting access. 64% of Republicans who voted cast early votes, and nearly one quarter voted by mail statewide.
So as these new laws are being considered in Texas to restrict access to voting, make voting harder in the name of voter security, we'll get to whether or not that holds up. We do know that Republican leadership, they have a pretty good idea of what they're doing. If there are some Republicans who can't vote, but there are more Democrats that can't vote, that's a win, isn't it?
Well, I think one of the things, I think there was a lot of unique things about the 2020 election. But one of them, which I don't think was a result of being in a pandemic, is that there are fundamental changes going on in the electorate. And I'll point to a few of them. One, Republicans actually registered more new voters than Democrats. And so this old idea that Republicans don't do well if there's more participation just isn't true. And in fact, I think given numerous factors, demographic shifts, the emerging youth population vote, there are a lot of reasons to believe that, in fact, Republicans, if they want to maintain control, need to be reaching out to new demographics and also reaching out to new voters and registering more people. So some of the restrictions might very well unintentionally cause less participation amongst some of their own voters. I also think we saw, there was actually an increase in support from African-American male voters and Latinx populations in Texas that voted for Trump. There was a lot of assumptions made. And I think, again, I would just reiterate, we shouldn't be making assumptions about how the electorate's going to vote when we are talking about who has access to the ballot. I mean, it shouldn't be a partisan issue. But moreover, I think the data just doesn't play this out. I would go into some more demographic information. For example, nearly 6 in 10, so almost 59% of military voters voted early and 1/3 voted by mail. And nearly three quarters of military voters cast their ballot, their votes for Republicans. So again, I don't think we should be making assumptions about this. What we're seeing is pressure that was created from, you know, that went on through the polls, this whole period where people with national prominence put into question the integrity of our elections. And what we're seeing now, what I would call an overcorrection, that could just actually lead to denial and restrictions of ballot access, not just for Republican or Democratic voters, but for military voters and senior citizens.
There's history behind voter suppression in Texas. Many people are familiar with the poll tax. The poll tax had to be voted into being for it to exist. And we had poor people vote in favor of the poll tax at that time, basically disenfranchising themselves. There's a history of people not acting in their best interest when it comes to having access to the polls.
Well, I guess the first thing I would say is, you know, having been raised in Houston and being accustomed to the history there, is that my first experience at the ballot box, and as a woman of color, was going with my mother in the early vote time to, you know, exercise her freedom to vote. And so, yes, there might be this history in Texas, but what we're doing now, I don't want to make assumptions about what people, if people are voting against their interests or not, because I believe that we should assume that people know what is in their interest. I'm talking about leadership within party structures, not necessarily doing what is in the best interests of their constituents. And in Texas, I believe that freedom has always been important to Texans, and that ultimately, I believe that Texans will step up and defend their right to choose how they vote.
We hear from Governor Abbott that this is all necessary to increase voter security in Texas.
Well, let me start by saying this. I think that we are well aware, and all of the research has shown and all of the data has shown, that there has not been any amount of fraud that would be enough to change an elections outcome. And so one, I think, again, you don't make policy for the few, you make policy for the many. That being said, I would also say that there are things we can do to improve the integrity of our elections. And I do think some of those things are, one, we should actually look at codifying in law what Governor Abbott did in terms of expanding early voting by 1 week. Again, we see how much it was used. We see that it's popularly used in many other states. And then number two, I'd also say there's things we can do, like ensuring and requiring all absentee ballots to have online ballot tracking systems. This is something that would, I think, help restore people's trust, and because they would be able to monitor and track their ballots from the time they're sent to the time they are received and counted. The other thing it does is it would allow people to then correct their ballots and be notified of mistakes. So while this is something that's been included in the House version of the bill, I think that still they could add a component that would allow people to uniformly cure their ballots and fix minor mistakes so we can ensure that every vote is counted.
Sarah Walker is with Secure Democracy, a nonpartisan nonprofit that seeks to increase election security. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You could also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you'll find past issues of Texas Matters, and you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.